keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed on AOA. Now back to Mike Pearson.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're continuing our focus today on AOA of looking at the meat markets. What's going on in the world of red meat? Of course, U.S. Cattlemen's Association getting underway. Glenn Tonser tracking meat demand across the country. And now we're going to check in with U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom. He joins us today. And Dan, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Yeah, my pleasure, Mike. Glad to be here.
Well, we've got some good stuff to talk about. The October export results were released recently, and Dan, pork exports up substantially. Can you give us the headlines?
Yes, October was a very good month. The highest pork numbers in over a year, about 238,000 tons globally that were exported. And it's good news in the sense that it's not any one market. We've seen continued growth out of Mexico all year, and they were up slightly. But we saw growth in China. We saw growth in Korea. Actually, Korea was amazing growth, up 25%. We've got growth in the Caribbean region. We've got growth in the Philippines. So really a pretty good story overall. And we kind of forecasted that the last quarter of the year would be better compared to the trend lines earlier in the year. So it looks like that's coming true.
It is. And Dan, those gains over there in parts of Asia are phenomenal. Those South Korea gains were incredible. Was there any issue on the supply side that drove the Koreans to purchase more U.S. pork? Or is this just a demand story as Asia continues to open up?
Well, it's a little hard to tell, but definitely demand is good and increasing. And part of the story that really makes it amazing is that, September and October was really the peak of the devaluation of the local currencies against the U.S. dollar. So, you've got a Korean won that was devalued to the extent of about 25% to 30%, which makes our products more expensive. So it's kind of a mixed message. I would say the fact that these growth numbers are up so much in Korea in particular, and oddly enough, on the beef side, they were up as well. The fact they did it in the face of a very strong dollar makes it even more impressive.
Yeah, it truly does. They were writing some pretty good-sized checks to get that high-quality U.S. protein onto their shores. And Dan, when we're thinking about this U.S. protein, and we talk about pork exports, we talk about beef exports, I know in my case, my head goes to whole cuts and maybe ground pork, ground beef. But in October, we saw the variety meats really perform well. Is that market coming back to where it was pre-COVID?
I think it most definitely is. And that of course, is demand-related, but it's more so supply-related to your earlier question. I think back in 2020, 2021, there were so many issues around lack of labor that some of these variety meats were not being saved, and a lot of those normally are exported. So I think we're seeing a rebound in the products being saved and also the rate at which they are saved, creating more production availability. And I think that's partly what we're seeing here, too. Demand's good, don't get me wrong, but you got to be able to produce it and save it first.
That's the truth. You got to have it on hand to sell it if you're going to be doing that option. Dan, I'm wondering, as you talk about the demand story there in Asia, the big headlines this past week have been China apparently looking to roll back its COVID zero policies. If they do that here into 2023, what does that mean for beef and pork exports into that region?
Well, I think it's good news that there's been some movement there because the food service sector has been absolutely decimated. I mean, for most of this year, the food service group, your restaurants, if you have a restaurant in a zone that has a COVID positive, then everything is locked down. We've got staff in Beijing that are in these big apartment complexes, and one COVID case in an apartment complex with 5,000 people, all 5,000 are locked down and can't leave. So, and that impacts restaurants in the area too. So this is what we've been living with for the past, at least the past year. So any kind of relaxation along these lines would be good news for demand as we go into 2023 for both beef and pork, but I would say especially for beef because, beef is more at the center of the plate in food service, so to speak, and you know, the momentum that we've established this year and last year was more on the retail side and the online side. So any kind of improvement on food service would definitely give a boost to beef demand.
I'm glad you brought up beef, because this was October, another kind of a landmark month for beef exports. And Dan, how did they go over into Asia, China specifically?
Yeah. Well, in total, we're up 8%, 125,000 tons for October. We are still on record pace globally, easily on record pace. We're over 10 billion through 10 months. So that by far is the record. Looking at Asia, you know, Japan was up slightly. Korea is up 10% on beef. China was up 30%. The whole Asian story is pretty positive. Philippines and Vietnam both were strong for beef. And then on top of that, you had some other markets, Mexico, Middle East, Canada were all up as well. So once again, pretty broad-based growth on the beef side. That's been the theme for most of the year. And despite higher prices and concerns around a strong dollar, the demand is hanging in there very well.
Dan, every time we talk, it's always interesting to hear what's on the radar at USMEF as your team is out there around the world exploring new opportunities. And I'm wondering, as we close out 2022, are there any countries you think could step in to become U.S. meat purchasers for the first time, or perhaps again in a long time here in the coming years?
Well, I think, yes, I think there's a couple of regions that stand out. And you know, Central America and South America continue to develop. Now, October was a bit down on beef, but in general, they were up on pork. But in general, the 10-year growth rates in those two regions are phenomenal. Take a country like Colombia. It has seen amazing growth on pork for 10 years and the last 3 or 4 years on beef. So those are, I think that's a country and a region that could show additional development going into 2023. And then, of course, you've got places like the African region, which is a little bit more longer term, but there's a lot of positives there as well. So, there's a lot of the broad-based growth theme is something we're really focused on, not just one or two of the larger markets. That's the beauty of the situation we're in right now.
It is. And the ability to have buyers of all different sizes around the world to play off one another and to help ensure some stability in this market certainly helps. And on the pork side, Dan, I know we have seen that global market upended by African swine fever here around the world, and particularly for American growers in the Dominican Republic. Have we seen the DR need to import a lot more pork from the U.S. now that they've got ASF on their shores?
Oh, yes, definitely. You know, we're at about 66,000 tons for the year. It's up about 40%. A lot of that's, there was growth prior to ASF, but nothing like this. So without a doubt, they're filling the void with imports to some extent. And, I think that, that's the good news side of what's going on there. The bad news side is we have to keep working hard to do two things. Number one is, and the industry is doing this, do everything possible to assure that ASF never makes it to the shores here. And then number two, you know, start working on some backup plans in a worst case scenario. And both of those things, the pork industry and supporting industries are very much working on that today. So we don't put into any kind of a situation where we might be disrupted with trade in the future.
All right. Dan, looking out, we've got some potential trade deals coming with the UK, maybe some openings into the EU with their energy crisis. Is there opportunities for U.S. pork into the Europe region more broadly, or beef as well?
I think without a doubt, yeah. The EU has been a growth market for beef and the UK specifically. And you know, to your question about the UK specifically, it's my personal opinion that the UK is looking for other reliable trading partners besides mainland EU. And I think in that respect, the timing would be good to have some sort of a deal put together, because the UK knows very well about our quality and safety and all that. There's no question there. They're just looking for another outlet to rely on for supply. Unfortunately, today, the politics of getting it done, it's possible, but it'd be much easier if we had a trade deal in place. So I think there are opportunities there without a doubt. Another region in the world that we're optimistic about is the Indo-Pacific framework, deal down in the Southeast Asia. There's talks, starting this month officially between the U.S. and the participating parties. So, some of these countries like Indonesia, Vietnam, Philippines, et cetera, that could pay some dividends as well. So there is some movement in the right direction on more access through some of these trade talks. So we're optimistic about that looking forward.
That is good to hear. And Dan, when you say it can pay dividends, that's quite literally. We see that export value per head continue to climb both on pork and beef. Do you expect in 2022?
Yeah, it's we're hopeful that it will. You get this broad-based growth and something as simple as getting more value on tripe or tongues and some of the variety meats has really contributed. So, yes, I think it's all about the value, right? I think, there's a lot of opportunity there. We just got to continue to push forward on it.
That's the truth. Push forward, bring those dollars back to the American cattleman, pork producer, sheep raiser, whatever you've got. That's what we're trying to get. Dan Hallstrom, President, CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Thanks for joining us with that update.
My pleasure. Thank you.